everybody, and welcome to the Katie Weaver Show. This is Katie. I'm your host. I'm so happy to be here. If you are listening live, it is the, I have to look at the date. It's the 20th of January. And if you're listening at about 11 a.m. Pacific time, and if you're listening to an archive or a replay, it is, oh, again with this, it is also good to have you here. Sorry. Let myself get super distracted by like three things at the same time. I left my curtain open and I hate that. Then my lighting is weird. I'm going to fix it with a drum mallet because we're drumming today. Oh gosh, how are you guys? Everybody doing well or something? I want to tell you a few things. I want to let you know we're over in the chat room. And you can find that by heading over to 12radio.com, clicking on the chat button, and you'll be redirected into the Facebook chat. I want to let you know that you can also find me live streaming this event. Just go to Facebook or YouTube and look for Katie Weaver, Domestic Mystic. And I put a link to the live stream in the chat room, so you can find it that way too. So, simple enough, I think. Oh. Deep breaths. I feel like I've already run a marathon this morning. And Tuesdays are just a big morning for me, always. And by the time I get to the show, I've already done quite a lot today, which is fine. That's, you know, that's the nature of it. But I just realized I didn't silence my phone, so gotta do that. Okay. Lots going on around here. Some fun stuff. I have completely cleared out an entire, like, 1/4 of my office, a good portion of a corner, that Scott put up shelves and installed a table and made space for me for a whole dedicated pottery unit, for glazing and building and stuff, which is amazing because it has been the kitchen table, which is not ideal. I actually really super hate it. So that's what we're doing. And it's great. I have it all organized now. I've got all my glazes. I'll take a video and share it. But I've got all my glazes and my little test tiles all lined up together so I can see what I've got. I discovered I had 7 glazes that didn't have a test tile, so I made them. It's just awesome. So, anyway, exciting stuff. I love it. And I also had some, I've had glass in the kiln the last 2 nights. So, whew. I've gone through a period from Christmas to now where I just have not had, I haven't felt good enough to do much of anything besides just the very basics in my life. So it feels good to feel like I can finally do a little bit more and accomplish a few things. So that's good. Tara is at the hospital with her little boy, Donnie. She said he can't walk. Hopefully we figure something out soon. Oh, babe. Well, we will all hold space with you and Donnie and the rest of your family that you get an answer soon and that it's a simple one. So the theme of the show, as promised, is meditation. Last week we were talking about spirituality and noetics and the brain. And I wanted to dive a little bit deeper into some meditation topics and just explore those together because there's a lot we can talk about here. There's a lot we can work on. I would like to get to a guided meditation. I don't know if we will. So we might get to that by the end of the show. I'm not really sure. We have quite a bit to do. But this is going to be a very hands-on show. So if you're wanting to participate, this is your warning to be in a place where you can, if possible. Mostly meaning don't probably be driving, you know. I don't think meditation and driving probably go hand in hand. However, if you've ever driven, you know, left work and suddenly you're home and you really can't remember a single thing about the drive, you probably were somewhat meditating whilst driving. We've all done that. It's a scary feeling. I've always wondered, what if, like, the police show up at my house and, you know, they're like, you did XYZ while you were driving and I have no idea that I did that, right? It's never happened, but I think that, I mean, people can relate that with that, the zone out. It's a true thing that happens, but a very weird feeling. Okay. So let's get into Luminous. That's where all the good stuff is. We had such an easy weekend. It was really nice. On Saturday, we just stayed home and did nothing for most of the morning. And then in the afternoon, Scott's dad needed help with his internet. Scott's the resident techie for his dad. You know how it goes when you're a little older. Sometimes you need somebody to who knows more than you about the interwebs and things. And they just live in such a rural place that they can only get pretty specific kinds of internet. And even that sometimes just fails them. So anyway, they needed a little help with their internet. So we drove up to their place to help with that, which turned out to be like a 5-minute job. But we're listening to a book right now. Well, a book series actually right now by Elizabeth Hunter that we're madly in love with, and got to listening to our book. That's typically what we do in the car. And it was just too good. So how can you go home and just stop? So we drove around. We just took a drive around our area and listened to our book for like 4 hours. It's probably fine. It's the Elizabeth Hunter Elemental series, in case you're wondering, but I think we're on book five now, five or six. There's like 12 books, but anyhow, so yeah, we just got a drink and a snack and just drove around forever listening to our book, and we're damn happy to do it. We even had to stop and get gas. We could have been clear at our kids' houses by our house by then, but you know. Speaking of the kids, the girls are throwing a Galentine's Day party, and it's a favorite things party. So you are supposed to bring three of your favorite things for sharing, and be ready to explain why it's your favorite, and then, you know, there's just kind of a giving table, I guess. And they invited me, and I was like, Boise, I don't know. And then the more I thought about it, I'm like, how many opportunities like this will I get? You know, like, well, maybe decades worth, but still, like, why am I turning down opportunities to do cool things with my kids? When I can drive around for 4 hours and listen to a book, I can probably drive for 4 hours to go to a party. So I'm going. Yeah, they invited me. They also invited the moms of some of their friends. Yeah, I'm excited. It's going to be fun. Now I got to decide. I've been racking my brains. What are three favorite things? I mean, I could show up with essential oils. I could show up with cards and teach people how to use them. I could show up with treats. Oh God, I don't know. There's a lot of different things I could bring. So, and I also kind of want to check in with them because some of their favorite things are some of my favorite things. So I didn't want to overlap. I don't know. I'm still thinking about this. Anyway, that sounds like kind of fun though, right? So in a couple of weeks, we're going to be going to do that. We might also be helping Matt. I don't know if I told you guys this, but Mateo was in a car accident before Christmas, about 10 days before Christmas, I would say. She was in an accident and totaled her car. Luckily, she walked away from it. Well, she did have a shoulder injury, but a pretty minor one. But the absolute nonsense we have gone through with Progressive Insurance is boggles the mind. And they took full responsibility. She was in the inside lane, and the guy on the outside lane. She was on her way to work, And it was just a like 45 mile an hour road. And according to her Live360, she was going 43 miles an hour. But again, she's in the inside lane, this dude's in the outside lane. He, for whatever reason, decides this is a good time and place to do a U-turn. Yeah, cutting across the lane of traffic. So he just flips a U-turn. She has no option but to hit him. She hit her brakes and her horn. In fact, that's what the shoulder injury's from, because she hit her horn about the same time she made impact and it jammed her shoulder. But it did total her car, which really sucked. She had a Jeep, no, hell, I can't remember. A Jeep, little Jeep SUV. This was, well, the second car that she's bought, and she had it paid down quite a bit. Her hope was to, once she had it completely paid off, to sell it and buy a new Bronco. That's her dream car. She wants one of the new Broncos terribly. Anyway, so it just sucked. The whole thing sucked. But the insurance jerked her around until we finally forced them to give her a rental car, because kid has to go to work and her job is 30 minutes from her house. Luckily, Micah has a work car, and so his car rarely gets driven, and so she had access to his car as well. But why should she have to put the miles on his car? She didn't cause this accident. And I gotta say, though, occasionally I question why I raised such strong-willed kids, because of, the tricks they pull on me. But when the police came to the accident scene, and I mean, there's no question this is this guy's fault. I mean, what he did was so stupid and dangerous and illegal. But so he admits to the police what he did, and then he says, but she was driving very aggressively. Bitch, she was in her own lane, driving down the road under the speed limit. Make that make sense. So the first officer was kind of like a good old boys kind of guy. So he's like, well, I mean, I know he did cut the U-turn, but he is saying that you were driving aggressively. So were you driving overly aggressively? Oh, honey. You don't know who this girl's mama is, or grandma for that matter, or great grandma, my God. She looks him in the eye and says, in the other lane? Help me understand how that would work. So he says, oh, well, sure, okay. Well, I guess that makes sense. You know what? I'm just going to let you tell your story to my other, the other cop that was there, and we'll let him make the determination. Like, she had to sell herself on the fact that, are you kidding? So she goes and talks to the other guy. She's like, this is what happened. She's like, he says I was driving aggressively. I don't know how me in the other lane could have possibly resulted in what he did. And he was like, yeah, it can't. Okay, thanks. That's what I needed to know. She'd been pretty good. So she stood up for herself well. But anyway, we are still going the rounds with Progressive Insurance. And she's had, they tried to turn it on her. Isn't that crazy? These men tried to bully her into fessing up to doing something. What, I don't know what she could have done in the position that she was in when this happened, but she. Anyway, so they gave her a rental car, which was fine, but exactly, Jane, an example. Was your skirt too short? Were you giving attitude? Yeah, exactly. But at any rate, they did cite him, and his insurance did take full responsibility. But oh, so they finally did give her a rental car. But last week, they finally got the evaluation completed on her car after an unbelievable rigmarole with them. And then started trying to tell us that they have been unable to get a hold of our bank for the titling information for the payoff. Our bank is around the corner from my house. It is a small town bank. My account number is so low that I had to get a new one recently because it's not long enough for industry standard. Because I was one of the early members of this, it's a credit union. I've banked here since I was 15 years old. They're easy. They're super easy. You call there, you immediately get a human that you probably know. So the adjuster at the bank is trying to tell us that she has waited on hold for many hours for this bank to answer the phone so that she can get the titling information, which is, and sent multiple emails, and they haven't responded. So I did the thing I didn't want to do. I did not want to interfere. I want Matt to be able to deal with this herself and have this life experience, because these are things you have to do as an adult. And she has done a good job. But her job is really busy all day long, and having to field calls from the adjuster is just almost impossible for her. And so inevitably she'll call when she's in a meeting, and she can't, there's not a thing she can do about that. So finally, last week, I went, you know what? I'm going to call Nancy. She's the adjuster. And my name's on the title, so I can, you know, I can have an opinion. So I call Nancy, who's just lying through her teeth to me. Nancy knows she's lying. I know she's lying. I call her Nancy a disrespectful amount of times because I want her to know that I hear her bullshit. And I still get nowhere with Nancy. So it's now Tuesday. We still have gotten nowhere with Nancy. We did finally call the bank on Friday after waiting on hold for 30 seconds, talk to the correct person who said they have not heard a single thing from Progressive and had no idea that this was going on and that they would be happy to take care of this as soon as they call them. So Nancy from Progressive, boo on you. So we're continuing to work towards resolution. Also, Progressive told us, because they're giving her a bit of a low estimate on her car, her bank figured it should be about $1,600 better than what Progressive offered. When I tried to argue that with Nancy, she said, "Well, unfortunately, if you were a Progressive member, there's some leeway there, but because you're not, there's just not anything we can do." Are you fucking kidding me, Nancy? Anyway, Matt's just ready to get her money and go. She found a Bronco that she could afford that she wanted to buy. But there were rebates, right? Like dealer rebates in play that would have made it so she could buy her dream car. Well, those have expired now, Nancy. So I don't know what'll happen, but anyway, I'm losing my zen over this. And I was semi rude and aggressive with Nancy last week, but Nancy, I'm all done talking to you. Now I have to talk to somebody who isn't you. Now I have to go and be the Karen who goes to your manager, and I don't feel guilty about it because you suck, Nancy. Right, we pay through the nose for this abuse. It is crazy what we put up with in this country. Right, she's going to get something great. I am convinced. And I mean, she is getting a pretty good payout for her car, and she doesn't owe very much on it. So that helps. She's been making like one and a half payments on it to try to pay it off a little sooner, and that's paid off for her in this instance. But yes, as consumers, we pay through the nose for this stupid bullshit. Without really any option, because they all do it. But anyway, this is my PSA that Progressive sucks. Maybe they don't for their members, but boy, for their non-members, oh, what an ordeal, Nancy. Well, let's move on to a better topic. That has been just consuming for us, but luckily, Matea was mostly unhurt. She does have a sore shoulder that, had required some medical, but that's better now. So that's good. Because on the other side, we have some other punk ass brat that's calling her, trying to settle the what we used to call pain and suffering. Now they're calling it an inconvenience fee for peanuts as well. So, yep. All right. I put a link up to Luminous. Of course, this is the magazine that I publish on Tuesdays with some help from my friends, and we this week are talking about modes of meditation. Pamela's feisty today. She'll call her Nancy. I never want to go to the nuclear option first, but we're headed to the nuclear option. Dumb. All right. So my article this week that we're talking about is called Meditation Many Ways: A Practical Human Guide to Quieting the Mind Without Erasing Yourself. Meditation is hard. It is. Anyone who says it's not has not tried it. Why is it hard? Well, okay, it doesn't have to be. But learning what works for you is probably the hardest part. And we have been fed loads of baloney in the New Age world about meditation to the degree that it scares people off. The truth is, if you want to think more clearly, if you want to feel more peaceful, if you want to be more grounded and more in tune with your intuition, meditation is the key to that. Over my career, I can't tell you how many times people have asked me a pretty simple question on that, on their intuition. What do I need to do to increase my intuition? And every time, my first answer is meditation. And you know, because you've done it, and so have I. They roll their eyes. They groan. They throw their hands in the air because they've tried it and it hasn't worked for them. Okay. We're going to talk about a lot of different kinds of meditation today and the crossover between the science and the spiritual side to help you find some things that work for you. The first thing that you have to understand, and I've said that a lot of times on this show, but I'll always say it, is this does not have to take forever. Guided imagery medit or guided meditation, not just guided, sorry, but meditation in general, does not have to take an enormous amount of time. If you don't have an hour to sit still and meditate every day, that's cool. If you do and you love doing that, that's okay too, but the main thing I hear from people is, I don't have time. I don't have time. And as much as we would like to be, to claim that if you, all you have to do is be more committed and carve out that time and get up a little earlier, that's kind of bullshit. Everybody's doing the best they can. And I don't think it's fair to continue to throw more at the feet of busy, haggard, doing the best they can, folks, and tell them that they have to do a little better. If you just get up 30 minutes earlier, yeah, well, Nancy, maybe they need their sleep, right? So, where do you go from there? I have a lot of simple ideas for you. Meditate, yeah, Jane said meditation isn't hard, commitment is for me. And that's one reason that we're going to talk about it today, in the sense that we are, because the commitment is hard. Laura says she does a Nidra yoga guided meditation every morning and it's pretty easy. Good, good. Those of you that have more of an ADHD brain will fight yourself tooth and nail to meditate. So you might have the best of intentions and you might say, I'm going to do this every day and I'm going to do it at 8 a.m. and it's going to be great. And then 8 a.m. comes, and that feisty brain of yours says, no, you're not. We're going to do literally everything else because we can't do it. We're not doing it. Don't make us do it. Right? I get it. That's my brain, too. And there is a part of me that likes to do the most required things in my life the very first thing in the morning, so that I can't put them off until the end of the day and they're still not done. I try to do that on some fronts. However, if your rebellious brain is fighting you, How do you get beyond that? Maybe it's through things that are simpler. Maybe it's through things that come more naturally, that you just start training yourself a little bit that, hey, this would be a good moment to do this thing. I don't know. I'm hoping I'm going to give you some ideas that will make this an easier topic. Meditation is an ecosystem of ways that humans across cultures and centuries have learned how to sit with themselves, regulate their nervous systems, and touch something deeper than the constant buzz of thought. We're tough cookies, but are we tougher cookies than our ancestors were? Probably not. I've never had to take care of 9 children that were dying from diphtheria. I've never had to be a soldier that had to do unthinkable things to try to keep my own communities and my own family safe. I've never starved to death, at least in this lifetime. I have never had to deal with the stresses and the pressures that my ancestors did. I think that we're probably pretty damn soft in comparison. Are we tough cookies for our age, our era, our time? I hope so. Sure, definitely. But what did they do? How did they regulate their anxiety? How did they regulate their feelings? How did they manage to get by? It wasn't by being different from us, right? They had to have their own spiritual practice of sorts. Maybe not exactly what we call it, but their own spiritual practice of sorts. They had to have their own ideas, right? The idea of meditation, though it's certainly under the guise of lots of different words, is something that has been with us in the human experience since time immemorial. It has to be. So we're going to look at it through both sides of the coin. Let's get this out of the way. Meditation is not about emptying your mind. There is a form of meditation that's about emptying your mind. We're probably not going to do it because we're not yogis that are living in a monastery or a cave and practicing it for 8 hours a day. Understood, strict training. That's not what we do. So you're probably not going to master that kind of meditation because it's probably not for you. So, from a scientific standpoint, meditation is any intentional practice that trains attention, awareness, or regulation of the nervous system. From a spiritual standpoint, it's a way of communing with the self, the body, the present moment, or something larger than us. To me, that means meditation is good for you on all levels. And that maybe doing a little meditation is an awesome way to benefit you in multiple ways. Maybe it's a time saver, right? What if you could sell that to your brain? Maybe it's a time saver. Maybe the best part here is that when you give a little time for meditation, it benefits your brain, but it also benefits your physical body. Maybe. All right, well, let's talk about different kinds of meditation. So, focused attention meditation. From a scientific standpoint, this is attention training. From a cultural standpoint, it's devotion, discipline, and prayer. This is how you choose a single point of focus, that kind of meditation. The breath, there's lots of different kinds of breath meditation. A word, this is like mantra meditation, where you might have a mala, right, that you spin on your wrist with your beads and say the same word over and over and over. It could be focusing on a candle flame or a sound. And when your attention wanders, you just gently bring it back to focusing on that thing. Gently is the key. If you're going to beat yourself up about it and get pissed off, you're going to struggle. It's not about keeping score. It's not about being the best at it or even being better than you were yesterday. You will get distracted by things. There's a part of your brain that is here to survive. And the survival part of your brain is going to get distracted by things that could be assessed as a risk. So your brain is always, there's a part of you, a part of your senses that are always on alert somehow, somewhere. Some days you might be more that way than others. In some situations, you might be more that way than others. But it is completely normal for you to slip away to something else and need to pull your attention back. Nothing wrong with it. Don't get mad at yourself or frustrated or discouraged when you do that. Neurologically, focused attention meditation strengthens the brain's attentional networks and helps reduce reactivity. In other words, it helps to bring anxiety and nervousness into control. Culturally, we see this showing up in prayer, mantra repetition, and acts of devotion. So some suggested practices. The one breath anchor. So we're going to do this together. So sit or stand comfortably. Choose one breath to fully notice. Feel the inhale. So you're going to really feel your lungs. Feel your lungs expand. Feel what your shoulders do, what your mouth does. Feel the whole breath move it through your system. We're going to hold it for a couple of beats, and then you'll release it. So we're going to inhale for four. We'll hold on to it for a couple of beats, and then we'll exhale for six. When the breath ends, you're done. If you want to take another breath, if you want to keep doing that for a few minutes, you certainly can. But if not, that's still counted as a mini meditation, as taking a moment, right? All right, so sit here with me. We're going to start that big inhale, four beats in. Hold for two, and out for six. Let's do it again. In for four, hold for two, and out for six. One last time. Inhale for four, paying attention to your breath now. Now you're going to take the whole practice without me talking you through it. So here we go. How did that feel in your body? Where did that take you? For me, it dropped my shoulders. Nell's excited. I don't know if you can hear her. For me, that shifted some energy in my head and also in my spine. I like that. Can you do that? I bet you can. I'll bet even your rebellious brain can do that. All right, let's move on to open monitoring or open focus meditation. The science of this is nervous system regulation. The culture of it is mindfulness and traditions. So in this type of meditation, instead of focusing on one thing, open focus widens awareness. So you allow sounds, sensations, thoughts, and emotions to come and go without trying to control them. Can you? Yeah, you can. Neuroscience shows that this helps quiet the brain's rumination loop and reduce stress activity. You know, the loop, the feed that sometimes runs through your brain and won't shut up. This is a practice to help to calm that. So if you're somebody who has the loop constantly, or you find yourself stuck in the loop sometimes, this may be a practice for you. This is a good practice for people who get anxious because they're trying to do meditation correctly. It's a hard one. This is a hard one because we have been conditioned to believe that you have to do things right or you're wrong. And who wants to be wrong? You want to be on the winning team, right? The one that does the right things. And there's no right or wrong here. There's no winning or losing. We have to get ourselves there. So here's the suggested practice. Let your eyes rest without fixing on anything. Notice the whole room at once instead of details. Allow sounds and sensations to pass through without naming them. Stay here for 30 to 60 seconds. Think of it as letting your awareness breathe. So you're just softening your eyes. So we're going to do that. So all you have to do, you're going to keep your eyes open. You're just going to let things pass through you. You are a hollow bone. You just let everything pass through you while you sit quietly. If you latch on to something, that's okay. Don't panic. Don't worry. Just release it. All right. So pick the space that you want to be in. Soften your gaze, and here we go. Okay. Interesting. I heard a lot more road noise than I normally do. I live right to the side of a busy highway, and when people come to my house, sometimes they go, "How do you take it? How do you stand the road noise constantly?" I've lived here for more than 20 years. I don't hear it anymore. Unless something crazy is going on out there, I probably don't hear it. Part of my filter is set up for that, right? But in that practice, I could really hear the road noise. It wasn't hurting me, it wasn't bothering me, it was just there. The other thing I noticed is that I had my hands clasped tightly in front of me and they relaxed. And I realized I was holding on really tight for no reason at all. That's the sitting and staring technique. Seems simple, right? It is simple, but when you're doing it with mindfulness, you're making some shifts in your brain and your consciousness. Very interesting. Okay. Body-based meditation. This is interoception and trauma regulation for science, for culture. This is somatic and indigenous practices. Body-based meditation brings awareness into physical sensation rather than thought. This includes body scans. I can remember back in junior high, our gym teacher making us all lay on the floor in the gym, very weird and uncomfy and exposed, and breathing and doing a body scan. Start with your feet. Feel your toes, your ankles, your calves, your knees, right? At the time, I had no idea that was meditation. I didn't know what it was, to be honest. But I did notice that by the time we reached our heads, I had relaxed a lot. I never did know that was meditation until later. She might not have been able to tell us that in that space because people are somehow afraid. In some religious circles are afraid of things like yoga and meditation and think there's something wrong with them, though they do them in their own way, meditation at least. But I always thought that was an interesting practice. But that is body-based meditation. It could be gentle rhythmic movement, like drumming, or tapping. These are practices that strengthen the brain's ability to sense internal states, which is essential for emotional regulation. Many ancestral traditions never separated meditation from the body. Stillness wasn't required, right? We want all the stillness. That wasn't required of our ancestors, but being present was. If you weren't present, you were going to die, right? We are so much safer than we used to be. Our ancestors were much more exposed. They had less access to tools, to shelter, to safety in general. Your awareness was survival. All right, so here's the suggested practice. Ground through sensation. So you're going to place one hand on your chest or your stomach, you decide. Notice the warmth. Notice the pressure of your hand. Now, for yourself, you're going to just name and notice three different physical sensations you're feeling in your body right now. I'll leave you to it. This isn't about having to fix anything, though you can if you want to after you're done, but just noticing. I notice that my hands and my feet are cold. I notice that my jaw feels tight. And I notice that my core feels really warm and comfortable. Is stimming as well? Yeah, absolutely, Pamela. Yeah. The other piece of this one, I think this is a very good way for people that are chronically ill to occasionally check in with their bodies, because chronically ill people, for a myriad of reasons, shut down their symptoms sometimes. And then don't realize what they're feeling. A good example of that for me is that if I get sick, like legitimately, maybe I just have a cold or whatever, I might not realize it until Scott points it out to me. I just know I don't feel good. And so he might say, "Well, I'm noticing that you're coughing and that you seem to be congested." And I realize, "Oh, I'm sick." Now, it's weird to think you could be sick and not know you were sick, but when you're chronically ill, a few things happen. A lot of times you're on medication that might stunt what you're feeling for good reason. You may need that, right? But when that happens, sometimes you become more obtuse to what's happening in your body until things are severe or until you just you're not giving yourself the same self-care that you should be. Maybe you're not noticing when you're thirsty, or noticing when you're hungry, or noticing when you're cold. It's interesting. But I think for chronically ill people, this kind of a check-in is a really good way to stay connected to your body when your body wants to, your brain is disassociating from your body in some ways because of what it's feeling. Just a thought. Okay, loving kindness and compassion meditation. The science is emotional regulation and empathy. Cultural is relational spirituality. Loving kindness meditation intentionally cultivates goodwill towards yourself and others. We do a lot of that around here, right? It's been shown to increase emotional resilience and empathy, but it can also stir unexpected feelings. Tenderness, resistance, grief. It all belongs here. It's all a part of this process. It's not forced positivity. It's just honest presence. It's honest warmth. It's acceptance of meeting yourself where you are. And that's a really important key. If we could all meet ourselves where we are, we would take much better care of ourselves. We would be kinder. Our internal dialogue would be kinder. We're a lot better at meeting someone else where they are than we are at meeting ourselves where we are. Let's try the practice. The suggested practice is called One Gentle Phrase. All you're going to do is put your hand on your heart. Close your eyes, take a couple breaths here with me. I want you to repeat to yourself, may I be safe? Just sit with it. And if that feels okay, then add, may I be at ease? And if those words don't land, change them until they do. There's actually no right phrasing, those are just suggestions. May I be at ease changed immediately for me to may I be at peace. That's what I wanted, what I needed. Essentially, what I'm teaching you is just positive affirmations in a meditative space. You could choose to repeat your phrases multiple times. You could say them to yourself once and then just sit with that heart energy for a few minutes. But this is a very simple way to just bless yourself. Okay, visualization and imagery meditation. We've done a lot of guided meditations around here, and that falls into this category here. The science is stress reduction and mental rehearsal. Mental rehearsal is so interesting. It is so fascinating to me that a quarterback can sit and go through every play in their head, every scenario, picture how they would do something, what they would react to, where they would go with their body, how their body would move, what they would do with the ball. And the neuron spikes, the brain activity to visualizing that is no different than if they were physically doing that thing. Isn't that amazing? It is. Visualization uses imagination as the anchor. In the spiritual world, we would probably add intuition to that as well. The brain responds to imagined experiences, similarly to real ones, which is why visualization can calm the nervous system and support healing. When we do the healing circles here on the show, what do we do? You've done it with me a lot of times, you know. We walk up a forest path, right? We walk along a forest path. We can feel the sun on our face. We can smell the forest. We can feel the pine needles crunching under our feet. And we walk along until we reach a clearing. And we walk out into a meadow and we meet up with other people. I do it the same way every time. Why? Because when you get good at that, it's really easy to do. And when you know what to expect, it's like you've gone there. That visualization is very real to your brain. You know, if you've done it, you probably could smell the pine of the trees. You probably could feel the sun warming your face. It's a very interesting thing. All right. Here is the suggested practice. This is safe place imagery. You're going to close your eyes or soften your gaze if you don't want to fully close your eyes, because guess what? You don't have to. One thing I've heard from clients that have had a lot of trauma is that closing their eyes is what stops them from meditating, because we almost always tell people, close your eyes, take a deep breath, right? Really common. Guess what? You don't actually have to close your eyes. And if that's a safety thing for you or a trigger for you that makes you feel unsafe, that triggers some kind of a panic response or fight or flight for you, then don't. You don't have to. Imagine a place where your body feels safe or supported. That could be anywhere. You could be sitting on the beach alone on a deserted island. That could be in your bed. That could be behind a locked door. It could be anywhere that feels safe and supported to you. Notice colors, textures, and light. Stay for a few breaths. If images don't come easily, and they don't for everyone, imagine a feeling instead. All right, so let's do it together. Consider where that place is for you. We're just breathing with it. We're noticing details. We'll come back from that, but you may want to revisit that one later when you have a little bit more time. What that's doing is helping your system to feel safe, to calm down, right? To just find that safe place. Interestingly for me with that one, I went to several places. I started up in my bed because I feel very safe and secure in my bed. But I was only there for a few beats and I found myself in a place where we love to camp. That's a very safe and comfortable place for me. And then I went somewhere else. And that's okay. I didn't fight that because that's just where I went. Sound-based meditation and sound therapy. We've done a lot of that here. Brainwave entrainment and vagus nerve regulation is the science behind it. Culturally, we're talking about ritual healing and communal ceremony, right? Sound has been used as a doorway to altered states for time immemorial. Drums, bells, chants, singing bowls. We see things like this in healing and spiritual practices across cultures for thousands of years. Not as the background music, but as the meditation itself. There is a suggested practice. I'm going to take it through you personally myself this time because we can. So we're gonna do it twice. It's only gonna be a couple of minutes each, but I'm gonna play a singing bowl first. All I'm gonna ask you to do is breathe with me and allow anything to shift as it wants to. We're just gonna let the sound wash over you without analyzing it. If your mind starts to wander, just pull yourself back to the vibration or the rhythm. So I'm going to start with a singing bowl, and then I'm going to move on to a drum for a couple of minutes. And moving on to the drum. Again, you're just breathing, keeping your attention on the drum, on the vibration. That's all. Okay. Well, you know I love sound therapy, and I know a lot of you do as well. But that is very, very grounding and comforting. All right. Moving meditation. Bilateral stimulation and regulation for the science. The culture is embodied wisdom traditions. Not all meditations are still. We have to acknowledge that. Walking, gentle stretching, repetitive hand movements, or rhythmic motion all count. This is where I really do love things like solfeggio tones. Or binaural beats, or brown noise. Because it does help you to put your brain waves in the correct place. But mindful meditation, moving meditation, is brilliant for so many people. Things like yoga, qigong, tai chi, even Pilates. And hell, maybe Zumba, I don't know. For some people, yes, could be considered a moving meditation. Doing the dishes is a moving meditation for me. Or other things. I think people that like to sit with things like puzzles or diamond painting or crocheting or knitting, spinning, those are all forms of moving meditations, or they could be. And for many people, this is the most accessible form of meditation. So the suggested practice is mindful walking. Walk slowly. We're not going to do it right now, but even just across the room. Notice the feeling of each foot touching the ground. Let your breath move more naturally. No destination required. You're just noticing yourself breathing and your feet walking. That's all. That engages your brain. What about micro meditations? Little things. I have a whole list of them in my tips, but my tip of the week. But here's one easy one. It's a 1 minute reset. Let's do it. You can close your eyes for this or leave them open. It doesn't matter. You decide. You're going to take one slow breath that you pay attention to. You're going to drop your shoulders consciously. You're going to unclench your jaw and just sit with it. 1 minute. Here we go. Start that breath. Drop your shoulders. Release your jaw. Let's sit with it. And that's it. You meditated. How do you choose the right meditation for the day you're having? Well, what's the kind of day you're having? Do you need focus? Do you need softness? Do you need rest? Do you need safety? Do you need peace? Do you need joy? Do you need some compassion? You decide. Totally up to you. You can't make a wrong decision, right? Or maybe you combine several things, right? All of it. Maybe you combine several things. Maybe it just becomes a part of your whole daily practice. Maybe. Maybe it does. A couple more things in Luminous before we go. I know we've gone way over our time. I apologize for that. But this was important enough to finish. Kelly, her article this week is about Hannah Arendt and the lost art of thinking. I absolutely love it. She was a philosopher. Really interesting stuff. My tip of the week are micro meditations. Take one deep breath. Drop your shoulders. Feel your feet on the ground. Pause and look at the sky. Listen to a soothing sound. Place a hand on your heart. Those are all micro meditations. They're small things that can have a large benefit when they're mindful. Christy's video this week is called Your Love is Your Superpower. If you've noticed, she's been putting out a lot of new content lately. If you're not following her over on TikTok or YouTube, I highly recommend you do. She's got a lot of good stuff going on. Lots of crime over at True Crime Squad and lots of meditations over at Planet Meditation, and that is what I've got. So, I want to thank you all for being here. Pamela said she can't call Nancy now. She's too calm. Thanks so much, all of you guys, for being here. I appreciate you so much. Thanks for being a part of my world. I will be back next week, same place, same time. In the meantime, don't forget that I am a professional psychic advisor over at 12listen.com. And I can help you with psychic readings, energy work, animal communication, mediumship. Sometimes it's just helping you make a decision, running something by somebody. Whatever it is. However I can help you, I will be there. Thanks so much, you guys. Tara, I don't know if you're still in the chat, but I just wanted you to know we're still holding space for you and your family, hoping for a quick resolution for your son. I want to thank you all so much for being here. We'll see you soon. This has been yet another production of The Katie Weaver Show here on 12 Radio, where we're changing the way you listen to the world.